This is Laurie Cox, and you're listening to Interview Under Fire.
All right, everyone, we are here with another episode of Interview Under Fire. This is once again your host, In Sunny. And this time, I want to welcome back the exceptionally talented French woman in Laura Cox. Laura, bonjour. That's like the first thing I should have said.
Yeah, bonjour. Thank you for having me. But man, here it's bonsoir, you know,
bonsoir.
It's 9 p.m.
Yes, that you are right about that. Bonsoir. And, you know, obviously, it's an honor again. Always great to have you back here on the IUA podcast. You know, here we are, you know, nearing the end of 2022 somehow and starting the next one with the bang for you with the release of your highly anticipated record, Head Above Water. Yeah. Setting to drop on January 20th through Ear Music. Let me begin, Laura, by first, you know, commending you on all the well-deserved recognition you have been getting so far. I mean, especially you just dropped that recent single, One Big Mess. Absolutely love that song. So much to unpack about this release and what went behind the production process of all this. Before we get to everything, right? It's been a minute. Like I said, we talked about it in the pre-interview. It's been a minute, over 2 years since we last got together and talked about what we love about the music. First and foremost, how are you? I didn't even ask you that yet. And then obviously so much has happened since the last 2 years. I mean, let's catch up. I mean, I get PTSD when I think about like how wild like that year was. Like, how are you?
Yes, yeah. How's life? Really hard to, hard to keep track, you know, because so we toured, we toured a bit during the end of 2019.
Yeah.
We toured until March 2020, then everything stopped. I went to Portugal for a few months, then the lockdowns, and then I finally got inspiration again, and we recorded the new album at the beginning of this year. And it's finally going to be released in a few months, so I'm really, really excited because we've been waiting for this for a long time. So right now I'm in a positive mood and really excited about the release.
You know, aside from the music, right, and I'm always intrigued to hear about other aspects of an artist's life that potentially feed into their creativity and personality. In this case, you know, like I said, sticking on the topic of like what's happened in the last 2 years, I know we all went through something called a pandemic these last 2 years, you know, staying busy, right?
Yes.
During the pandemic was, even in France. Yeah. It was an
yes.
important thing. I think when we spoke last time, it was maybe the pandemic was just fresh in our memory. And it was really still fresh right now, but still like 2 months into it, you know, and we were talking about like how life would affect someone like you, even someone like me in the music industry. You know, staying busy during the pandemic was an important thing. But now that I have you here, Laura, you know, did that time, you know, open up new things for you that you may not have discovered before about yourself, something that you can take forward with you, maybe something that doesn't involve music? I remember like a month after we spoke, I took up baking. I never baked in my entire life. Like I know how to bake cookies now. So
my listeners
already know how much I talk about this with my guests. Like, oh, here he goes again. But that's, I like to ask questions like that, like during the time of lockdown.
But because I think before the pandemic, I used to be in my small little world, just about everything about rock and roll. And that was all I was doing, and just my life and like a simple rock and roll life. And I wasn't asking myself a lot of questions, but I was happy with this. And I don't know, after the pandemic, I had time to, you know, reflect on everything. I met new people. I went abroad. And I think I opened myself to a lot of things. So like you were saying, yes, I got into cooking like you. I surfed. I tried surfing a lot these past months and years.
Yeah.
I'm still a beginner, but I really enjoyed this. And I also opened myself to new kinds of music because, I used to say there's only rock and roll in life. But in the end, I don't know. I feel that my life is more rich now. And it's more like, it's more interesting when you're not so narrow-minded and you open yourself to everything, you know. So I think I opened myself on a lot of things, and it feels good.
And people who don't know, we're talking on camera right now. Obviously, you can see my hair has grown since we last spoke.
Yes.
This was the pandemic hair. You know, I just left it growing, and my friends were like, "No, you should keep it. You should keep it. This is on an accident."
Yeah, it looks good.
Usually, I keep it. I appreciate that. Usually, I keep it like at hair's length, like shoulders length. Last time we spoke, so it's And I was looking back on our interview like a couple days ago, actually, as I was preparing for this,
Okay.
and I was like, man, we've the things that we talked about at that time, you know, and Laura, something I want to mention, your story, here's the thing, your story is always something to take inspiration from, by the way. I want to repeat that because it is an important thing to know, because your rise to music fame, make no mistake, right? You had to earn to be where you're at today, you know, from being a I mentioned in on our last conversation, you know, from being a YouTuber in your teenage days to headlining shows around Europe with your own band. I mean, like in the late 2000s and when it started. And people don't know already, I want to mention, you know, Slash, Joe Bonamassa, ZZ Top, Dire Straits, all your influences, many of your legends, which, you know, I even grew up with. You know, my mom introduced me to those bands. And I know we've had a chance to reflect a lot in these last 2 years, everything I just mentioned, right? Do you look back on things like that? You know, are you someone who is sentimental about things like that? I know I'm nostalgic. You know, I save Blockbuster receipts from like 99. That's how nostalgic I am.
I'm not sure. I don't think I reached the point where I can really look look over this and just look back and because my career is still just starting, I think. So there's still a lot of things to be done and I still have a lot of dreams. So maybe I'm gonna do this in a few years, but I'm not ready to look back yet. So I appreciate, I really enjoy this whole journey from YouTube to the stage, and I'm really grateful and happy about this because I think a lot of people who started on YouTube are just going to stay on YouTube. They don't necessarily end up on big stages, and maybe they don't want this because it's really a different world, the YouTube world from the live shows and the festival and the band on the road, you know. So I'm really grateful and thankful to be able to combine both because for me it works and I love this.
And one of the things that makes, you know, the Laura Cox band, is a live presence that you put on stage. I've seen what you've done this year, Laura. Like, holy shit. I mean, playing at Hellfest, Poland Rock, Rockapalast. I mean, that Hellfest show was so good. And people who haven't seen that footage yet, go check it out. Considering how much touring is going on lately, isn't it crazy? We were talking about how this was like stripped away from us two years ago. Now here we are. Everything's back. But I feel like everything's back even like 10 times more. Live music is at
People are so excited about this now.
and you know, it's crazy to think about, because I'm going to show tonight, for example. Black Veil Brides is headlining with Atreyu. And it's not something that's like this is a show, and there are other shows at the same time, because live music is at a point of saturation because everyone is touring at the same time. Like, fans don't get to go to all these shows. Like, do you feel the same way? Is that good? Is that bad now that everyone is ready to just go out in
I'm
the
not
open?
sure. I think I really hope we're not going to have to face another wave of a
I hope not
pandemic, but
either. Gosh.
yes. But at the but right now, I feel like shows are happening again for the first time in years. I've been to concerts in 3 weeks, I think. The past weeks, and it didn't happen for a really, really long time. So I'm happy that life is starting again. It feels like it, and people are very excited about this. But I also hear that even if the bands are really excited to be on tour again, and the audience is really happy about this, I think a lot of people are still scared to go out because we can notice this at our shows and even the shows, the rock shows I've been to recently. The venues are not full. It's really hard to fill the venues right now because I think some people are I don't know, still not out of this pandemic. I don't know if they're scared or maybe the prices of the tickets or for a lot of reasons. It's hard to go back, I
And
think, on
all
tour.
valid points. And by the way, technically we are still in a pandemic, right? Because obviously, I mean, I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel now. And you know, it's interesting to think about, because I've had friends. Do you remember the live streaming that when we talked about this, how live streaming was taking over? And I've had friends who now they would text me and be like, they purposely don't go to these shows because, you know, there's social anxiety and mental health comes with, you know, being in big crowds. And that's an important thing to note. And they would tell me, hey, Sonny, it was really cool getting to see, you know, Laura Cox, for example, on a live setting, seeing a band like Gojira, they did the live streaming, you know, bands like that. And
but it's not the same on the live
stream.
No,
it's
I
not.
think
And
you've
it's
it's
cool to
just
mosh in your own room, right? It's cool to do that, but how much longer can you do it for? But
yeah, it's nice if you cannot go out of your house, but
yeah.
now that we can do it, I think there's nothing like a real rock show when you're standing, when you're in a crowd and moving and jumping. It's nothing like a you're not in your on your couch just with a computer on your lap and I don't know. It's not the
Yeah.
same for me.
Laura, what was the I gotta ask now, what was the first show you played since the pandemic started? Was it weird for you? Was it, you know, getting used to being on the stage again? It's like, okay, this is stage left, this is stage right. Okay, I'm gonna be here. And you look at talking to your bandmates. Like, I wonder how, if it was like overwhelming, because that Hellfest crowd was huge, you know? That's just one example.
Yeah, it's hard to say because we didn't really have a first show after the pandemic because we had shows even in 2020, you know, because in France the rules were changing all the time. Like sometimes you could have
Yeah.
shows but people have had to be sitting with a mask and like with a chair in between every person. So
That's
we
right.
had
We did something like that
yeah.
for a temporary, but you
Yeah,
know.
we had this. So we didn't really have a first show back to normal because we never know if it's going to be the first one or if there's going to be another wave and no shows again. So I don't really remember any specific show. I think I remembered the first show where people could be standing up again and no limited crowd, you know, the
Yeah.
number of people weren't limited in the audience. So yes, it felt like being back to normal, even though some people were still a bit cautious and some people were still wearing the mask. It felt good to feel, because when you're playing in front of a sitting
Yeah.
audience, it's not the same there. I know they're enjoying, but they cannot really show this. They're just sitting and watching with the mask. You cannot see their faces. And it's kind of half a show, you know. It's not the same.
I remember when I went to the I've never seen them live before, which is weird coming from someone like me. I've never seen Metallica in person. They did a live streaming here in the States at the end of 2020, and it was very interesting. You know, that was technically my first show, I don't know, during the pandemic or after the pandemic, however you want to say it. But it was sold out. People were like parked out in the desert. It was like in a deserted area where there was a drive-in. And you know how when you're in a live setting, you're like, hey, let me see those horns, and you see all people like raising all the horns, and you get that adrenaline rush. Instead, it was like, hey guys, let me hear you honk your horns. So if you roll down your window, you just hear cars like honking. So it was definitely an interesting atmosphere.
We didn't really have this in France. I think this is an American thing. But I wish I've never seen a drive-in concert. I don't know what you call this, but
it was a
show.
They called it the what was it called, the Pandemica, because Metallica, they were performing live. I think they were live, and then every region, like the time zones here in the States, they got a show. But there's one show I want to talk about, Laura, really quick before we talk about the new album, because this was so cool. I think this is very important to mention. You conducted an interview. I know I'm interviewing you now, but you conducted an interview with the legendary Scorpions at Hellfest. Tell me more about that. How did that start? Because I watched the whole thing. You were great. That was great. I think you should do this as another side gig.
But I'm not a TV host. So it took a lot of the interview was one thing, and I managed to stay natural because I don't know, it felt natural. They were really, really nice. But the thing that was more like a challenge to me was that I had to present the whole show, because they were filming the Scorpions show at Hellfest, and I had to be the TV host presenting and making the introduction and the conclusion and the in between, and because I'm not a TV host, so I was a bit freaking out. I had to learn a text in a short amount of time, but in the end it was a really a fun experience. I think at the end of the day everybody was happy, and it was a hard work but something new, and nice to be on the other side, you know.
Yeah, that was really cool. I didn't even like you saying like you're trying to freaking out. I didn't notice that at all. You held everything together. You were very you were catering to your guests. I mean, the scorpions. You get to say, I interviewed the scorpions at Hellfest. I mean, how many people get to say that? Not many. And that's
For sure.
people who haven't seen it, I just searched it on Google. It's actually on a Facebook page, but you should put it on your Instagram. I want people to see that because that's really
Yeah,
that's
you're
the
right.
thing of it. You should make it like a routine thing. I'm just a fan, but I'd love seeing you crush it out there. So next year maybe you should do that.
Maybe.
That's just a
Yes.
suggestion. Now, let's talk about Head Above Water. This drops on January
Yes.
20th on Ear Music.
Yeah.
Now, this album, this is a follow-up to your 2019's Burning Bright. I
Yeah.
love that album. I loved it then. I love it today. I even went back and heard that along with your debut, Hard Blue Shot.
Yeah.
Laura, I mentioned this in our last conversation, right? And I don't forget things like this when I say it. You really have this seventh sense. By the way, if you want to keep drinking your tea, because I'm gonna talk a lot here. You
It's
really
okay.
you really have this
It's finished.
seventh sense for incorporating these traditional sounds of country, blues, southern, and hard rock in your compositions. And I know those are just genres, but you've created your own signature with the twist of everything that you are. And like, I know it's you know, when I hear it. Southern hard blues,
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I
you
think that's
labeled
the
it.
nicest compliment you could
No,
have told me. So.
and here's the thing, I'm a Texan. That means a lot. Think about it.
Yes.
I'm exposed to this music every day, and my mom loves country. Like, she made me like appreciate country a lot more than I have in the past. But and I mentioned this on Burning Bright, but you pushed the envelope even higher this time. And you know, all the while,
Yeah. That's what I had tried.
yeah.
Yeah, go.
No, real quick, I'm gonna throw some numbers at you because even your YouTube account, I monitored this from when we last spoke. You racked up, you now just surpassed 500K survivors, survivors, subscribers, survivors. I'm thinking of pandemic on the mind.
Yes.
105 million views along the way. We can definitely cut that out, or maybe not. It'll be funnier. Becoming the guitarist and singer with the most views, even in the French and international rock scene. This is a big deal. Here you are, Laura. You know, new album, new year. We're starting here soon. New chapter, even for the Laura Cox Band. Even you know, do you sense any? I don't know, any pressure for you when you decided to sit down and write again for a new album? You know, even just a follow-up. You know, dropping a record before the pandemic. You got over that sophomore slump that people always talk about. Did that ever enter your head, or are you just like, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna do write the album the way I've never done before, or was it just
I didn't put pressure on myself because I know I cannot work like this. And the label was not pressuring me either. They just let me come whenever I'm ready, you know, when I'm saying, okay, I have the songs, we can go in the studio, and then they're booking. So it's nice because they're always waiting for me. And because it took time, the previous album was released in November 2019, and now it's already 3 years after.
3 years.
It's been and I have to say, so during the pandemic, I wasn't at the beginning I was playing guitar a lot, and then I felt a bit stuck in my apartment and felt like I needed to go out and breathe and distance a bit. And so I think I wasn't ready to write a new album. During the pandemic and the lockdowns, I couldn't find inspiration, so I distracted myself. I opened myself to other activities, and until I finally got inspiration again. So it took time, but I didn't put pressure on myself because I know it wouldn't work. And then I just recorded a few memos on my phone, a few demos on my computer, and while I was away in Portugal, then I came back to Paris, and we rehearsed with the band and arranged the songs together. But for the first time, I worked more on my own because we were not together, you know, physically with the bandmates. So the writing process was different this time, and it felt natural and fluid this way. So I'm happy with that, how it went, and yeah, this happened like this.
You know, and th this album, from the title track to Old Soul, which that may be my favorite track, by the way,
Oh,
to
okay.
Seaside, and then that graceful closer, Glassy Day. Like, holy shit, I've never heard a track like that for me before. Glassy Day was such an epic closer. I really felt like this was a you know, in other words, a refreshing take on the Southern rock music scene. And like I said, I'm gonna repeat it again. I'm here in Texas, where I'm exposed to this genre almost daily. So you know what I mean when I say, excuse me, that what you're doing is working so well that I can't wait for Texans to actually hear it. Like I went to another place is Nashville, Tennessee. Have you been to Nashville yet?
No, never.
Okay, so I just went to Nashville for the first time a couple of months ago with a friend of mine, and my goodness gracious, you think Texans are like the like country? Like people are way more country out there. We were at the Dolly Parton roof, rooftop, and there was like a pool up there, and just the culture there. And as I was listening to this album, I'm just thinking, man, as far as like background music, like people just like in the theme, Laura Cox would just fit right in with even with like the Nashville music scene. The Dallas.
I wish I could visit this.
We're gonna make it happen, all right? I work with a lot of promoters now. Obviously, a lot has happened the last 2 years, so I know a lot of the promoters here in Dallas. I would love to help you book a show. I mean,
It would be great.
I said it then, like I can't wait for you to come to Texas. I'm gonna say it again. I can't wait for you to come to Texas. You know?
Me too. And yeah, for this album, I try to include more of like bluegrass elements, like the banjo, lap steel. I'll always be a guitar player first and not a great banjo and lap steel player, but I'm really interested in learning more about these instruments because I know this can add something a bit more special and original to the rock, the classic rock, you know, tones and instruments. Yeah. So I really wanted to mix those instruments with my music more. And I think that's what's a bit different on this album.
And what I heard about this album is personality. I think your personality shines on this album more than any other. I sense it on Burning Bright, but I sense it a lot more this time around. I wonder how much did things change from when you first started recording on this album or composing on this album to where you ended up finishing it. Did a lot change in between? Did nothing change? Did you have a specific sound in mind from day one?
I know where I was going, but I think these songs were really fresh, all recorded, all written in within maybe the first one, maybe they're maybe 6 months apart, you know, whereas for the previous album, some songs I wrote them maybe 2 years before the recording of the album, and others were written during the recording. So there was more time in between the writing of the songs. But this time, the writing has been done in a more compact time lapse.
I wonder how many didn't make the final cut.
Nothing, because I came with exactly. No, I had a few songs that I was not so sure about. I had some demos in my computer. I was not so sure I would be using them, but in the end, I put them aside maybe for another album. But when we arrived in the studio, I knew exactly which songs were going to be on the album.
Man, I really feel like your albums and the way you compose your songs, it's almost like paying a homage to like the old country sound, you know? And I appreciate things like that when... Because everything's like TikTok blew up, for example. That's something like modern. Like I can't keep up with that stuff. I can't keep up with that stuff.
I don't have this yet, but I think I'm going to be.
But you see what I mean? I'm an old soul. That's why I resonate with this song so much. Now, a big part of this is because the sound was a big part of this record that I really loved. I'm an audiophile these days, Laura. I'm very picky on how I want my music to sound, the way I want it to sound. This was recorded at ICP Studios in Brussels by Erwin Treek, hopefully I'm not butchering the name, but also mastered by obviously Ted Jensen, and you know he's known for his work with Norah Jones, Green Day, Eagles. Talk about Erwin for a minute here. I'm sure there was that sense of comfortability in the studio for you, knowing you had someone like him working on this album, right?
Yes, and the studio. So we've already recorded the second album at the ICP studio. So for me, it felt natural to come back there because it went really well the first time. We knew the place, we knew the engineer, it was like coming back home, you know, and for me, it was kind of reassuring in a way and comfortable to go back there because I knew what I was going to find there. And I'm not saying I'm going to record all my next albums there because at some point it's nice to try other engineers and studios to have different types of sounds. But for this one, I felt like I was really happy to go back there. And yeah, it went even better than for the previous one. Like the atmosphere, everything was. I made a really clear schedule because we only had maybe 2 weeks, and we didn't have more space and time to. I don't know for in jamming, improvisation. Everything had to be organized. Like I like doing this.
And I saw your video tour on YouTube. That's a really nice studio. Hey, it's not bad if you stick to that because it's a great studio. It's always nice to have something like that. But shout out to Irwin, by the way, because it's important to get your sound out there the way you want it to sound, the way you want the lyrics delivered, the way you want the compositions to be like. And I come from a family of musicians, so I really notice things like that. Now, Laura, we're reaching the last part of our conversation, by the way. This has been so great. I love having you on here.
Yeah, thank
Now,
you.
no, thank you. I want to talk about this now. I don't know how much you want to dive into it because this is something recent. The challenges of someone like you dealing with big changes, if I wanted to give you this platform to talk about it, if you can, you're a longtime guitarist and contributor to the Laura Cox Band, Matthew Albiak. And I know we talked about him a lot on this last time we spoke. A great individual, and he recently just stepped out. If you wanted to shed any light on that news and what the foreseeable future holds for the lineup for your band, because I know you and Matthew are very close.
So we've been through a lot, but I decided it was not an easy decision to take, but I think for both of us it was time that I finally took the place of the leader in the project, because I've always been following everybody, and I think that for now, right now, it's time for me to be the lead guitarist and try something new. I've always wanted to try include a keyboard in our lineup. So we tried this. We started trying this in the studio because there are some songs. It's not really like very in the front, but we have keyboard on some songs on the new album. And I felt like I wanted to take another direction and maybe part ways with him. So maybe I hope he's going to start another project. I'm gonna go my own way. And we'll see how it turns out. But for now, I'm motivated by my project, by my music, and yeah, I'm wishing him really the good luck for the what's next. And we'll see how it evolves. But yeah, I thought that this was time for me to, I don't know, be the leader for once.
And it's important to make decisions like that, and you want to do things that are right for you. And all the love to Matthew too, because you guys are still friends, and you guys are still close together. And both of you made really great, meaningful posts. And I read them. And people haven't read it, they check the Facebook out. But it's a new chapter, like I mentioned, right? It's exciting too at the same time. So,
Yeah, I'm excited too, really. I'm trying to see the positive in this, and I'm trying to focus on this, and I'm really motivated and excited by the release of this album. And for me, learning new guitar parts and trying to rearrange the songs and going somewhere else, musically speaking, is a, I don't know, a new challenge that I'm going to try to face alone on my own this time. And we'll see how it goes. So let's wait and see. And I hope a lot of people are going to discover this new lineup on tour and like it and make their own opinion. I'm sure it's going to be fun.
I can't wait. It's always nice to have something like that to look forward to, the next chapter. And you did it on such a like perfect timing, new year, new album, new lineup. And it's just,
Yeah, I felt
and
that
then,
this was the right moment. Yeah, new show, new tour. The album is coming out. I think this was the right timing.
and a new show in Texas, just saying. And
I hope so.
Laura, we've covered a good amount of ground on this great conversation. It's always great to have you back on here, and the discussions we've had
Yeah, thanks a
are
lot.
always so great. Circling back around to what I said earlier about, from where you started to where you are now, what do you see, as the most rewarding part for someone like you who is now at this point in their career? Like, I'm excited to see where you go from here. Celebrating the successes you've had are also important,
Yeah, I'm so thankful and grateful. For me, the biggest reward is to be able to live from my music. A few years ago, I would have never believed this, and it's possible. So I'm really, yeah, I'm motivated. I know we faced rough times with the no shows and lockdowns, and hopefully this is behind us. We'll see. But yeah, and even if something is so I don't know, some shows are canceled again, I can still put my inspiration and my music on YouTube and try to use this platform in a good way to promote new music. We'll see. But yeah, for me, the biggest reward is to be able to just make my music. I think a lot of people are just trying to live from their music, and they're struggling, so they have to play in cover bands and like a long shows in bars. I don't know. I'm happy to be able to play my songs and to meet new people on the road and to visit new countries. It's a really great experience for me.
Man, well said. And again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's always so great to speak to you. It's like I said, I learned much more. I learned so much about myself as much as I learned from my guests. So I thank you so much for sharing everything you had, because it's not easy to just talk about topics out in the open. The way you translated your work into something as beautiful as the music you put out into this product, it's great. You know, I can't wait for people to hear it.
Yeah,
I'll be
me
counting
too.
down the days since till you come to Texas. Now, before I let you go, this is something interesting, because we're playing shows again, right? We're going to shows again. I don't know how much of a film buff you are, but give me like two or three shows you binged during the pandemic and why you recommend them. Tiger King doesn't count.
No, but I'm not even sure if I've watched a lot of movies during the pandemic and shows. Honestly, I didn't really watch. I was busy going out, spending time in nature. I didn't really spend so much time in front of Netflix
And that's okay.
or yeah.
That's
Recently,
motivation to go out. That's motivation to go out of your house and do things. Like, there's an
yeah.
outside world aside from what you're sitting down on
I'm not
watching.
a big movie fan or TV shows. I'm mostly usually, I'm just practicing guitar with the TV in the back, like always on with just kind of a background noise, but not really watching or looking. I'm just to feel that I'm not alone in my apartment, but
Well,
then practicing all day.
yeah, I do the same thing. Like, sometimes I'm working on a project and I would just to get rid of the silence, you just keep like the background whatever show. I always put on The Office because I just love The Office, but I grew up on that show. But Laura, this has been amazing. Again, do you have any last words, any shout outs, anything else you'd like to plug in or mention as far as Head Above Water before we finish things off here? I don't know, like any music
No, just
video, tour dates,
yeah, but we
whatever you
are
can and cannot say. So
so in the first video music video should be out in about
wait, is it out
maybe
today?
two the video music video.
Yeah.
No,
Today's
because
it's okay. Okay, did I speak too soon?
I know, because I didn't even shot anything, so it cannot be today. The music video is not made, but it should be now. It should be out and maybe this month for sure, before Christmas. The first one is going to be out in a few weeks, so this is what I'm looking forward to. And then yeah, I'm really we are preparing the release of the album. We have some tour dates planned, but not in the US for now. I really hope we can come. I hope
It'll
we can come
happen, I believe.
to at least to NAMM in April. I would be really happy to go to Los Angeles for the NAMM, but we will see. I'm really excited about the release, and then we'll see what's happening from there.
When you come to NAMM, I may actually be able to be there because I missed the last couple of years, and I've actually have a couple of friends who are working the show. So if I'm there, I would love to come and say hello. And
Yeah, me
it'd be
too.
great to actually, it'd be like longtime friends talking to each other, and then now we're finally meeting up. But much love to you. Nothing but the best from you here on out. Have a great Christmas. Have a great rest of the year.
Thank you, you too.
Have a great new year, and have a great time leading up to the release too. It's like the
Yes.
anticipation's like really kicking in, right? So
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but yeah, like I said, it's just excitement too, so.
work that you're really good at and what you're really passionate about. And everyone who's listening, this is the amazing Laura Cox. Head Above Water drops January 20th on Ear Music. Do me and Laura a favor, buy the record, because the fans,
Yes.
the bands can't do it
Thank
without your help.
you.
That really, I'm old fashioned, the old soul, right? I'm thinking about that song. I buy
Yes.
records. That's like sitting on the corner of my room.
Like, yeah, me too. I'm still buying CDs and vinyls, and I've been
cassettes.
growing up with
Bands are releasing cassettes again.
Yes,
Remember
I
that?
saw this. I saw
We
this.
just got a. We just got a. Me and my family. We just got a VCR a couple of months ago. People were like, "What is a VCR?" Trust
I
me,
know.
Google it. It's like a time machine. That's literally what it is.
I still have this. I think I still have VCRs in my
I still
apartment.
have
So.
mine, but it was broken. So we had to buy one from eBay that was like $200 in US dollar. It was like they're so pricey. Obviously, they don't make them anymore, but I think the old souls got to stick together, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So, everyone is listening. You can listen to this podcast on all major podcast streams out there. Check us out on interviewunderfire.com. Laura, let's stay in touch.
Yes,
I
for
will keep you
sure.
posted once this episode airs. Take care of
Okay,
yourself.
perfect.
And
Thanks a lot.
I'll see you soon, okay? Much love.
Yes, I hope so. In Texas.
All
goodbye.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye. Get up, this walk's in a mess, and we're not. We're on the edge of breaking down. Hit the bricks and slow down. Push you till you change your mind. We'll catch you before you hit the ground. Where are we heading now? Just get
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review, as that helps us tremendously. If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.